Hey everyone, I'm going to take a look today at Matthew chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So remember, in the immediately preceding section, Jesus has asked his disciples who people say he is. And then he's asked the most important question. He's turned to the disciples and said, "But who do you say that I am?" And it's then that Peter gives the response, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. You are God's chosen King over all people, God's answer to everything." And Jesus has said, "That's right. And flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." So in that section, he then goes on to say, "Well, Peter, you are the rock. You are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church." So if we were to ask of this section, how does God build his church? The answer is through the confession of who Christ is, through focus on Jesus and the message of who Jesus is. And Peter got that. And so he was one of the early leaders of the church that Jesus was building. In this section, we go from a high place, we go from a successful place now to a kind of a low place, because what we find out is that the other answer, the second answer to how God builds his church, is through the way that Jesus takes. In other words, yes, Jesus is the Christ. Yes, he's God's chosen Messiah. But his way is a way of humility. His way is a way of suffering. His way is a way of obedience. And his way is a way of death. And so the disciples get it and they don't get it. Peter, with his newfound authority, his newfound sort of, "Hey, Jesus has said I'm really important," he rebukes Jesus. He takes it upon himself to use that authority and to tell Jesus, "No, Jesus, that's not how we're going to do this." And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." And it seems so harsh. I mean, why is he doing this? Well, if you think back to the wilderness temptation, Peter is in precisely the same place that Satan was, because Satan was trying to get Jesus to not go the way of the cross, to not take the way of humility, to not take the way of unnoticed obedience. That's precisely what Satan was trying to get Jesus to do. And Peter is doing the exact same thing. He understands the implication. He's a follower of Jesus, and he wants the way of success and power and influence. And after all, Jesus can do all these miracles. And so he's like, "No, Jesus, that's not how you're going to build the kingdom." And so we come to this very crucial turning point. I mean, the turning point in Matthew chapter 16 is key, because it's the first time we get this full declaration of who Jesus is, God's Messiah. But it's also the first time in a big way that the disciples themselves are confronted with, "And if you're going to follow me, it's going to mean taking up my way." And so, of course, Jesus, he commends this way of the cross. "If any man would follow me, let him take up his cross." What is the cross? At its most fundamental level, the cross is giving up having to have your way. It is a fundamental orientation in life where getting your way, or offense at not getting your way, that is no longer the way you live. That your most fundamental orientation is to focus on Jesus and to follow him wherever he will lead. And it's here that Jesus makes clear that it's not just that Jesus is going to suffer and die for his disciples, but he's called all his disciples to take up the way of the cross, the way of obedience, the way of humility, the way of hiddenness in many ways. Remember, most of the parables of the kingdom focus on the kingdom's hiddenness. It doesn't look like much, just like Jesus didn't look like much. It's not up to us to accomplish big dramatic successes according to human standards. It's up to us to be faithful and to follow him wherever he will lead us. So this is such a crucial turning point. And if we were to turn the tables on ourselves, as the gospel wants us to, the question for us is, who do you say he is? And then the second question is, and are you willing to take up your cross? Are you willing to follow him in his way of humility and obedience and service? There's no other way into the kingdom but to follow Jesus down that path. And so he calls us to that. And then it's interesting because then at the end of the section, he says, this generation will not pass away until you see the kingdom of heaven coming in its power. Well, it's immediately after that here in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus is transfigured before their eyes. They see the king and his kingdom coming in power. But again, I want to stress, the way into the kingdom is to follow the king in obedience, in faith and baptism, and in humility and service. So may we follow him where he leads, and may we learn to take up his cross and give up having to have our way and living to have our way and living with the joy of knowing him in his way. We can say with Paul, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection, but also in the fellowship of his sufferings. Amen.